One of the most asked questions regarding Jesus Christ is, how do you know that Jesus is the one? How do you know that Jesus is who he says he was? How would you answer that? You must have an answer, right? You're a Christian. You must have had a relative or a friend, or you must be prepared to have an answer to that question. That's a question that is bound to come up in conversation, especially if you claim to be a follower of Christ. How do you know that Jesus is the one? Or should we look for another? The Jews would say that Jesus is not the one. They are actively looking for another, even to this day. Jesus was a big disappointment for them in the scriptures. And that disappointment may have spread to the followers of John the Baptist. This is what I'm guessing. That's why they confront Jesus and say, "Are you the one? Or should we expect somebody else?" Why would they ask such a question? What would make them think that Jesus wasn't the one? Oh, because John's in jail, and Jesus doesn't seem to be doing anything about it. How could that be? If John was who he says he was, or what people claimed him to be, how could John be jailed and then on trial to be beheaded? That's bad. If Jesus is the one, then how could all these things be taking place? Jesus responds, "What have you seen and heard? Why would you doubt after seeing such evidence? What evidence would convince you? What would you have to see in order to believe?" I'm sure they eventually go back to John and they share this exchange. After Jesus responds to the people who are witnessing this, who may have had some doubts themselves, after they see this exchange, they may have thought, maybe he isn't the one. I don't know. Jesus says to them, "What did you expect out of John? What did you expect to see? A big-time priest? In rich person's clothes? Did you think he would be a political hero? A reed in the wind, right? Someone who appealed to the masses. Someone whose focus is on being popular." That's a reed in the wind. "Someone who is connected to the right circles of power. Or was John like the prophets of old? Humble, self-sacrificing, modest in every way, telling it just like it is, bearing the truth." Then Jesus says, "Yes, yes, and more than a prophet. Of those born among women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist." This is tough to hear, isn't it? When you heard that read, what did you think? What popped into your mind? It's hard for us to hear, especially if you don't understand what Jesus means by that, right? Jesus says, "The one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." How could this be? If John is the greatest born among women, yikes. That's bad, right? That sounds hard to hear. We read that, right? The least in heaven is greater than John, and John is the greatest born among people. Well, brother, that doesn't sound very good, does it? Most people, when they read this, they say, well, that leaves me out. I have no shot. But we're not hearing what Jesus is really saying. The kingdom of heaven is not about the greatest. The kingdom of heaven is about redeemed people. John may be the greatest and most ideal prototype of a prophet. But the greatest in heaven is the one who has experienced the most of God's redemptive activity in Jesus Christ, God's grace. The one who experiences God's grace at a level that is unimaginable and unforeseen. And between that person and John the Baptist fall all of us. It's not a statement of exclusion. It's actually a declaration of inclusion. So as Christians, once again, we don't look for salvation among the great, among the kingdoms of this world. We certainly don't look for the ideal kingdoms to be formed and to come into existence by force and violence. Our relationship with God is not by force, but by faith and trust in God's word. We're brought together as one body, one people by the means of God's grace, with Christ who instituted this for our benefit. And the question that still remains is there a better version of this? Is there something better than what we have received? Is there a more effective and more unifying and more salvific message than the gospel of Jesus Christ? And we are asked, is Jesus the one, or should we expect another? The answer is the same answer that Jesus gave. What does the evidence tell you? When you see the community of God's people, what are they saying and what are they doing? What do you see in the lives of other Christians that you gather with? Do you see Christ's real presence in their churches? Is God's word the loudest and clearest voice in that community? Do the people of God treat you like a member of their own family? That's an important one. Well, maybe it's just because I'm a pastor, and I might get special treatment. But I have to tell you, I can't tell the difference between this family that we've received over the last 2 years and my extended relatives. And it's been that way from the beginning. And I hear that others have experienced the same thing. The warmth, the love, the true body of Christ. That's the way I would describe my church. My family is their family, their family is my family. We communicate to each other on a regular basis in this church. And I hear that some of you, or hopefully all of you, experience the same thing. So I can confidently say this in closing, the blind are seeing, learning about faith in a new way. The lame are being driven to doctor's appointments and to church. The lepers are fed, receive Christian fellowship and a community that loves them. What evidence have you seen? Jesus points to his activity in the body of Christ. And that's where we should look also. Amen.